from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two verses and a chorus shy of a hit song. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino.
And the Music Row Show.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We got some lovely ladies looking at us through the window having some delicious-looking ice cream. I think she wants, wants to share with us. Oh, that turned Scott's head right there.
What?
Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We are so delighted that you're listening in.
We are indeed. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'd love for you to join the conversation. Log on to facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow and chat alongside with us.
Yeah, and you can also do that at Twitter, of course, at The Music Row Show. And after the show, you can see some cool, lovely pictures at Instagram, at The Music Row Show as well.
That's right. We'll be Instagramming
all kinds of great stuff. So, Scott, why don't you introduce these fine-looking gentlemen here?
You know, they're very sharply dressed.
I know.
I feel like I needed to go change clothes or something.
I feel a little underdressed myself.
Yeah. Okay, here's the deal, guys. They do not sound retro. They are retro.
They are.
These young men are traveling all over the world, keeping traditional country alive and well. They have toured with Merle Haggard for years. They've recorded on his label. They have a whole new project about to be released here in a few weeks on Organic Records label. And they're produced by, this one was produced by the great Doyle Lawson, who's been on our show before.
Yep.
These guys are the real deal. They're a hoot on stage. We're happy, so happy to have them here tonight. It is a pleasure to say Chris Malpass, Taylor Malpass, welcome to the Music Row Show, the Malpass Brothers.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. It's an honor to be here. We appreciate it.
We're Taylor, pull that mic a little closer so we can hear you. There we go.
That better?
That's better, yeah.
get on in there when you're talking.
It's interesting, a recording artist who's afraid of microphones.
I know, yeah.
You don't
strange,
see that too often.
It's never been my thing.
Yeah. So, when did you guys first figure out that you sounded good playing music together?
Well, I had started playing as a kid and was traveling around doing a lot of churches and different things, just me and my guitar. And I guess when I was about 12 or 13, Taylor one day decided he wanted a mandolin. Mm-hmm. And my mom and dad were kind of like, well, we're going to buy it and it'll stay under the bed, you know, that kind of deal. But we bought a mandolin, and our first love was the Leuven Brothers.
Right.
And so as a fellow by the name of Clyde Maddox, who's one of the best steel players I know, he introduced us to the Leuven Brothers, and that's where it took off for us, listening to Leuven Brothers. And we said, well, we don't sound too bad together, so we'll give this a try.
All right. Now, and you mentioned that you're a big fan of the Leuven Brothers, and you actually have his guitar.
Yes, sir. I do. Yes, sir.
That one right there?
Yes, sir. This is Mr. Charlie Leuven's D28 that Mr. Mike Longworth with Martin did for him. And it's kind of a treasure to have to me, because such a big influence Charlie and Ira were, to have part of that in a group. It's like another band member to us. So.
And it's hard to find one of Ira's mandolins, because most of them were smashed.
He smashed most of them.
He was very, very Pete Townsend, right?
Yeah,
very
Yahoo-like.
He was pre-Pete, yeah.
Right. Well, tell us about the Malpass household as kids. How was music encouraged and nurtured?
Well, my mother's father, he's a Methodist preacher, and he sang. And then my dad's father, he ran a little country tavern and sang.
So opposite ends of the spectrum right there.
We had it coming from both ends. And so we got the churchy in that end. And then we'd stay with my grandparents that lived close to us a lot. And all the old 45s that were on the jukebox when they were still popular, he'd bring home. We had a record player. And we'd listen to that music all day. Mm-hmm. And we thought that's all there was. And later on, I started listening to new music. And I still love the old stuff. You know, it just hooked. So, and I think more young kids would feel the same way if they heard it more, you know, because it's magic, that old music is. It's pure talent. And so that's kind of what hooked us, is staying with our grandparents, hearing that music. And, I mean, it was just instant for us.
Wow. That's great.
Now, singing along with it? Were they encouraging you guys
no,
to
sir,
sing or play?
My granddaddy played the guitar, and he said, here's G, C, and D. If you learn that, you can do about any song that you want to do.
That's pretty much right.
And so I learned that, and then I've, you know, gradually learned more and more. But it wasn't a forced thing at all. It was just I wanted to do it, you know, as soon as I heard it.
Right.
The first Charlie Pride record I ever heard, I knew that's what I wanted to do, you know.
Yeah.
And Hank and Lefty and all those great singers.
Did you ever make it to E minor?
I did finally.
Wow.
Yeah. Last week.
Okay. We're still working on
it. We don't use it much, but we got it in here.
It's during there. The break, maybe you can show it off.
That's right. I might try to throw it in there.
Wow. One of those fancy chords. Now, both of you, when you guys were getting the band going, both of you guys continued to work your full-time jobs like most musicians have to do. And now that must have had to have been really tough time management-wise when trying to do all that. How did you go about solving those kind of difficulties between your...
Well, we're still doing that.
Okay.
We worked with Don Helms for a while.
Yeah.
And after Mr. Don passed away, we went with Merle Haggard. And what we would do is we'd be gone 2 or 3 weeks with Merle opening the shows. And then when we came back, we'd go right to a transmission shop working on cars.
Mm-hmm. Now, Taylor, you worked transmissions?
Or? Yes, sir.
He did.
He did carpentry, right?
Yes, sir. Well, we just changed.
Okay.
We had
to buy a farm now, and he works for the county. He's a carpenter.
Nice. All right.
And so I believe in the old way, work as much as you can. There's enough people not working, you know.
Yeah.
So we it gives you reasons to write, too.
Sure.
You know? It gives you being around everyday people instead of just being closed up to yourself.
Well, that's one thing you learn when you're in Nashville is that everybody, just except for the few people at the top, everybody's got 2 and 3 jobs.
That's just the way it is. It's just part of the deal, but I think it molds you, too. You know?
Well, Gene Watson's always had his body shop in Texas.
He still goes and works.
Yeah.
In fact, the last time we did a show, Mr. Gene, we talked about cars. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he said, yeah, I'm working on a so-and-so Cadillac. You know, I mean, it's weird, but you know, everybody's had to do something with their own 2 hands, too.
Right.
You know, before they became a musician or singer.
Well, let's get back to the music. You're talking about Charlie Pride, Louvin Brothers, Merle. Why do you guys think is this music so important to preserve?
Well, I mean, these guys were doing this stuff without voice tuners and without, you know, electronic stuff, you know, and it's real. And you know, it's something that if we get so far away from that, I feel like sometimes technology is good, but sometimes we've come so far away from it, we're not going to know how to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And people need to know how to really sing, really play, really, you know, do the real stuff. And these guys are the doctors. And we've got to listen to them and learn from them.
Right.
And we can't let that music be forgotten. So,
absolutely. Well, how did other folks, other kids your age when you were growing up, react to your taste in music? Was that something that was looked down upon?
Chris had some friends over one time when you were probably
about eight. Yeah.
And they were out there. And he was, we were playing around in the backyard, and we had that record player. If we went outside, we carried outside to listen to records. and they got up and left because we were listening to Hank Williams. They didn't know what that was.
But what were they wanting to listen to?
Yeah, what was their problem?
At that time, it was like Sammy Kershaw and stuff.
Yeah,
like that,
which is good, too. Yeah. But we were taking them back.
You know, we were into the Hank stuff. And I remember we went out to the shop. Daddy was working on a 50 Chevrolet.
Right.
And we went out there, and Daddy said, man, all our friends left because they didn't understand it. They didn't know who Hank Williams was. And Daddy said, well, son, there's people my age don't know Hank Williams.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
Which is sad.
That is sad. Well, we got time. Yeah, you mentioned Merle.
Yes, sir.
But I want to back up a bit because he's one of my all-time musical heroes.
Mine, too.
Talk about how you were introduced to him and that first time getting on the bus talking to him and just how wild was it to hit the road with him?
Well, we opened for Merle at a college in North Carolina, the Western part, and we didn't meet Merle that night. The band heard us. And the next night he was playing in Raleigh, mm-hmm. and I went back to the show because I was such a Merle fan. I wanted to see every show I could while he was close.
Mm-hmm.
And the band said, if you'll come back the next night, we'll introduce you to Merle because we've told him and he wants to meet you guys. And I thought, okay, yeah, right. So I went anyway. I took off work and went and got there. And they said, Merle's on the bus. He wants to meet you. So I went on the bus. Merle got talking to me. He said, I heard you guys open the show, but I didn't get to hear you. What do you do? And I told him. So he went to the back, and he brought his telly and a little Rose guitar he's got.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, do me something. So I did an Ernest Tubb song, and then I did a Hank, and then I did one of his songs.
Which one?
I did.
What were the three songs?
I could have gone right just as easy as I went wrong by mm-hmm. Merle. He didn't remember it. He hadn't even thought
what?
About it.
That's
he said,
awesome.
That's a good song. Who wrote it? I said, you did. Yeah. I said, you really need to learn some Merle Haggard songs. And I can't remember the Hank number, but I did Dear Judge by Ernest Tubb.
Okay.
We talked, and you know, he said, I want you guys to come to the ranch in November. And this was like September, I think.
Now, the ranch is in California.
In California, where okay. it is. And I kind of thought, you know, well, that was the end of it. Well, in November, he had Frank call, and we went out and spent a week, and then went back in December. And in January, I started with him on the road. And in June, Taylor was still in high school. About June, he called Mom and Dad and asked them, could Taylor come on the road?
Wow. That's awesome.
He was coming right out of high school.
I left a week after I graduated.
So how did you feel that your brother suddenly took off with Merle? Were you like,
I was distraught, you know, because I didn't know what yeah. was going to happen. And I was kind of like, well, you know, where am I ever going to get to go? And then when he called and he was like, well, I want to know, he called Mom and Dad at the house. And he said, I want to know, is it all right if Taterbug comes? Because that's what he's always called me.
What does he call you?
Taterbug.
Taterbug.
Yeah. And he said,
we're
going to
call you that
Taterbug
from now on,
comes.
Too.
I said, and Mom was like, yeah, that's fine. She said, he's got to finish his schooling, you know.
Uh-huh.
And like I said, I left a week after I graduated. And yep. had never been to California. I'd never been that far from home. And that was something.
Yeah.
Well, flying to Redding,
well, when
California.
We got there, Merle was in overalls. You know, he was sitting at home in overalls and just a plain, you know, he's the real deal. It's no
yeah.
persona that he puts on, you know.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
Absolutely. Wow. So what were your first thoughts of California, having to, just out of school? And
I was a little, you know, and at that time I was farming then too, and when I was in high school. And all I'd ever been around was North Carolina and farming and stuff, and I went to go out there, and it's completely different.
And they didn't talk. They didn't talk like us out there.
Yeah, nobody.
That's weird.
No, it's a great experience for us to get to be with Merle. I mean, that's the real deal.
Who, now, at what point did you end up on his label and record for him?
Well, Benny, Merle's youngest son, is playing guitar mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. He hadn't started either, so Benny and I started at the same time. And we were kind of working on some stuff, and Merle said, I'd like for y'all to cut on Hag Records. And that was, you know, good as it could get to us.
Sure.
And we worked on the CD. We were gone so much that it took a year to ever finish it because we were, you know, in and out of the studio. And it wasn't but a couple of months before Merle mentioned it. You know, if y'all want to record on Hag Records, I'd love to have you. So that was a big thrill
wow.
to us.
Wow. Wow.
And he would come up there to the studio, and you're trying to cut, and here's Merle Haggard, and you're going...
Now, who, I'm going to back up a little bit. Who exactly was Lewis Talley, and why is that name so important?
Well, Lewis Talley was, he was the guy that really got Merle started. He had Talley Records, him and Fuzzy Owen.
Mm-hmm.
And when Merle first saw me, the first thing he said is, you look like Lewis Talley. And he said, I'm going to do a movie. And I wish they still would. It never happened. He said, I'd love for you to play Lewis Talley. And then when he saw Taylor, he said, well, Taylor favors Fuzzy. Because they had this look, the hair and everything. You mm-hmm. know, we didn't put all that together. And so Lewis Talley was Merle's best friend, you know. If it weren't for Lewis and Bonnie and Fuzzy, there'd be no Merle. And he'll tell you that, you know.
Right.
I mean, they pushed him. They were the deal.
That's cool. So that probably helped warm
it
you
did.
Up immediately.
It did. As soon as he saw me, he said, you look like Lewis Talley. I said, well, I appreciate it.
You know, actually, in the beginning, those early Merle records, Fuzzy, he was managing Merle, and he was also playing steel for him.
Yep.
Really?
And a lot of those early recordings is Fuzzy playing steel. And Fuzzy, I can't remember what it was happened to his hearing, but he lost almost all of his hearing. And he went on stage one night and didn't have a stealing tune,
yeah,
isn't that right?
Yeah, and he quit.
And Merle said something to him, and he said, if I can't hear, if I'm out of tune, I'm just going to quit. He never yeah. played again. But he's a great player, man.
Man, I can't think of anything more heartbreaking for a musician than to
no,
because
I play out of tune all the time.
Yeah, but that's
but
part
I
of
can
your
hear
sound.
It. Sounds like there's more of us, though.
That's right. All right, we're here with the Malpass Brothers, and you're listening to the Music Row Show. We're going to be back in just a few minutes, but we need to tell you that this segment is sponsored by our good friends over at Toyota of Cool Springs.
That's right. We love these guys. Their motto is is an they want to make sure that they give excellent service and give everybody an excellent experience. And they do that because when you go in there, you just you don't feel like you're
it's
being
not
attached
like going
by
into any
vultures
other car dealership,
or yeah. They're like, hey, how's it going? Good.
Yeah.
And they're just they're really cool, and their service department's really nice, and
they got that 3-day warranty on every vehicle. Return policy, lifetime warranty.
Lifetime warranty,
unlimited time and miles.
They got a 3-day warranty. No.
A little longer than that.
Three-day exchange policy, lifetime warranty.
There you go. Well, go ask for George if you go over there. He's the owner, and he'll take great care of you. You can find him on the web at toyotaofcoolsprings.com. We're here with the Malpass Brothers, and we'll be back just a few minutes on the Music Row Show.
Well, if you hear somebody knocking on your door, if you see something crawling across the floor, baby, it'll be me. I've been looking for you.
Yeah, welcome back to the Music Row Show.
If you see a head of people.
That's the Malpass Brothers, and that's a cut off of their brand new project. It's called It'll Be Me. Track 3, in case you're interested.
That's an old Jerry Lee Lewis tune. Can you crank it up just a little bit, just for a second? Because it's the first time this has been played on WSM, right?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to look up on the mountain in the deep blue sea.
Uh-oh, Scott's dancing, and people are laughing out there. Look at that. They are cracking up.
I can't help myself.
Because you look like that gopher in Caddyshack.
Well, if you feel something.
Man. I love the way that sounds, guys.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Put it up on the camera.
So I guess you're the quiet one then, Taylor.
He
right?
is. I am. Until we get on stage, yeah. Then he's all different.
You're all different.
Yeah, Dennis like, he just won't hush.
Well, let's get a song out of you.
Yeah, we'd love that.
Sure.
Your instruments all rosined up or...
Well, yeah, Scott, that's what they do to guitars.
Yeah, they do.
Rosin them
I
up.
Rosin my guitar all the time.
What do you want? We've written a couple, and then we can do a cover. It's up to you.
Oh, do something you wrote.
Yeah.
Oh, let's do Memory That Bad, too.
I got to get my guitar.
All right. This is a song that we wrote, and we actually recorded this on Merle's label, and it's the title cut of the album. And
what's it called again?
Memory That Bad.
Oh, I love that song.
Thank you. Appreciate
I listened
it.
To that earlier today.
Thank you. If you hate it, you're in for a surprise. I'm surprised you'd even call after all it's been a while. I miss your lips, I miss your kiss, and most of all I miss your smile. I'm still alone, I ain't moved on. There's no more of what we had. As for you, to tell the truth, I thought you'd forgot a memory that bad. If I could go back and change the fate, build a love, a race of hate, second chance at the past, maybe more than my old heart could take. But I would try to make it right and do the things that make you glad. Look at hand, you call the man who caused a memory that bad. Think of us and what was. I've thought the love we made to die.
You say that you thought love died too. Forgetting me, you surely tried. But I recall what caused the fall. Why it was me and my mistake. Hurts me bad. Things turned out bad. I thought you'd forgot a memory like that. Thought you'd forgot a memory like that.
Yeah. Woo! Thank you.
Very nice.
Thank you. Y'all are easily entertained.
No, man, look, we can get a standing ovation out there. Look, they're all clapping out there. That is awesome. That is awesome.
Well, let's talk songwriting for a minute, because you guys wrote that one.
Yes, sir.
How hard is it, because you guys have such a traditional country feel, how hard is it to write something new that sounds old without sounding like you're copying something?
Well, you know, that's a good question. Like, for instance, Memory That Bad, it just sort of came to us. And we just basically write, and however it comes out is how we let it be. You know, it's really hard to say, well, I want to write something traditional, but I don't want it to sound like Ray Price, or I don't want it to sound like, you know, Hank Williams. We've been kind of lucky without that happening. You know, they've come to us. But some of them have more of a Merle Haggard flavor, you know.
Sure.
I think that's because of such the influences. But it is, you don't ever want to copy. I don't ever want somebody to go, well, that sounds like so-and-so's. That sounds like one of Merle Haggard's songs that he cut, and I don't want that, you know. So we try to be as original as we can, but it is very tricky.
Have you ever written anything when you were, because you were touring with Merle for about 6 years, right?
Yes, sir.
Did you ever write anything that he started singing?
Well, I wrote a song on that same album titled I'm Leaving You Today.
Mm-hmm.
And Merle was going to cut that on one of his albums, and I was blown away with it. And by that time, he went with Vanguard, and he didn't get to cut it.
Darn so, you,
yes,
Vanguard.
Yes.
Those Vanguardians.
But he still got the song, so I'm hoping one day he'll cut that. And then One of the songs that on that same album, I Don't Like Loving You, Mr. Charlie Leuven was going to cut, and he passed away before
right.
he cut it.
So right.
I hadn't had that happen yet, you know, but I'm hoping
wow.
one day. That'd be an honor to me to have somebody like that do
Charlie
one.
Charlie Pride doing one would be
awesome. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Too. Yeah, any of those guys.
Well, lyrically, how do you walk the line between writing in a classic style and having maybe contemporary references or topics, you know, like a cell phone, for example?
Well, you know, man... I've tried that, too. It's
yeah.
just hard to do. It's hard to say, you know, I saw her talking to another guy on FaceTime.
Yeah.
It just
yeah.
don't work in a song.
Right.
I see.
You know
you
what
never
I mean?
Know, yeah.
I broke down today in front of the computer reading her goodbye email.
Yeah. Text. Yeah.
And cheating songs are getting hard to write nowadays because there's no chance for anybody to cheat. It beat you on Facebook before you could do it.
Yeah.
Right, right.
So, you know, I think that's why people have quit doing that.
She's
but,
cheating while she's tweeting. Wait a minute.
Whoa.
Wait
write
a
that minute. Down.
Wait a
write
minute.
Write that down.
You might be on to something. It is very hard, and I don't do the modern country music, and I you know that's to each his own. But I don't want to. You can almost I feel like we've had enough of the same kind of music written lately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think somebody.
What do you mean?
You know what? I think they're
kidding.
Hungry for something different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I try to. I don't listen to the radio much, and I don't listen to records as much as I did, and that I think that keeps you from stepping on something someone else has already
yeah.
done. But I do try to put new references in there, but it is tricky.
Hmm.
Yeah, I
well,
guess it depends on the reference, right? Yeah,
it does. Yeah.
Again, the new album, Malpass Brothers. It's a self title. It's called The Malpass Brothers. Comes out on May 26th.
Yes, sir.
You can pre-order right now on iTunes.
Yes, sir.
And then once it comes out, will people be able to get it on your website?
They will. Yes, sir. And they'll be able to get it on our website, and also, we love for people to follow us on Facebook, because Taylor and I, we do the Facebook stuff ourselves, and we talk to the folks ourselves. So,
sweet.
So we always keep watch on that. So please become a friend.
Who all did this logo for you guys?
My dad came.
I love that. That is a great logo.
Yeah, it did come out good. Didn't
show you
it?
That. Look at that. It's kind of the way you worked
music
all that.
Music note and a guitar.
Yeah.
Now
I like that a lot.
Your dad also kind of, he plays bass for you occasionally,
he does,
too.
Yes, sir. He plays on all of our live stuff. He plays bass. And
is that because you don't have to pay him? Or?
Well, that does work. And if we do pay him, the money goes right back to mom. So then it just
circulates. And you just go ask your mom for $20. Yeah.
But no, he plays bass with us, and a fellow by the name of Clyde Maddox and Johnny Ridge, a great fiddler, and Dennis Daniels. So we've got a 5 to 6 piece band that travels with us.
Excellent.
Nice.
I was looking at several videos, and you have a natural on stage. You have a natural showmanship or lack of self-consciousness when it comes to dance moves on stage. And you're just you're great up there, and then Taylor, you do a great job of mocking him behind his back.
Yeah.
And then Dad,
wait, he didn't know that till just now.
Yeah.
And then Dad just kind of shakes his head.
Yeah,
you know, so I'm wondering, was that a learned thing for you, or did you just the first time you got up on stage,
I just do whatever I feel, you know, just kind of, you kind of got to just be yourself up there. But it's the greatest singer in the world would be boring if he just stood there.
Right.
So you kind of got to.
No, I love
too.
Watching
you know,
it.
That's
Absolutely.
Part of the thing. But I just do what I feel, you know, and he does mock me from time to time, but that's part of the show too. You know, I don't get mad about it. But Daddy is shaking his head because he doesn't know what we're fixing to do next. Because we won't ever make a set this. And, you know, so he's thinking, what am I doing?
Why so you guys walk out there without any sort of real set list at all?
Yes, I never made a set list. And everybody used to gripe about it in the band. And when we went with Merle Haggard, Merle didn't make one. I said, well, if Merle didn't make one, then it's got to be okay.
You know, you can't really argue with that.
You can't.
That's... Yeah.
You do. If you don't make a set list, you give the crowd what they want. Because you're just feeding off them.
Sure.
They're part
but you at least know the first song, anyway. Right? You know what you're opening with.
Usually not.
No?
It depends.
So then if you haven't been out there, how do you know what the crowd wants?
You just
kind of questionnaire you haven't filled out on the way
take
in?
Take a stab at it, I
okay.
guess.
Okay. Wow. So okay. So then how many songs, what kind of repertoire do you guys have to be able to just, you know, if somebody says, I want to hear Devil Woman. Because that's not something you guys play normally.
We just throw it in there, yes, sir.
You just make it up?
I will tell you.
Well,
now,
we listen to so much music.
And I'm not telling you this because he's my brother.
Mm-hmm.
But Chris, I would never challenge him on anything with, like, knowing the words of songs.
Really?
He's like a songbook.
Well, I can't
little,
do nothing
it's
else,
a little,
so I got
to. He's a little freaky, and it kind of makes me mad because I can't remember anything.
Yeah. You and Scott would get along. Scott's that way, too. You've got an encyclopedia in there. He can watch a movie that he watched, like, a month ago and then come and quote. It's like he acts out the scenes for you word by word.
And it's fun.
And it's,
too,
yeah.
It may be
scary.
Annoying to everyone else, but you're having a good time.
Exactly.
It does annoy everybody
exactly.
else. That is all. So with all this stuff that you do, you know, trying to be, you know, retro and all that, or no, you are retro, how much modern recording technology do you incorporate into actually putting your music on recordings?
Well, when we did Merle's label, we did everything pretty much the old school way.
Analog?
When we went with Organic Records, the first thing I said was, I don't want a lot of voice tuning and all that junk, you know. And, you know, they weren't used to somebody saying that because, but the way I am, if you can't do it on stage, then you don't need to do it on a record. That's the way I was brought up, you know. So Mr. Doyle Lawson, who produced it, went in and kind of went to bat for us. And the team at Organic Records are all great people. And they're all, a lot of those, them are great musicians. So they all understood. And so we cut it sort of the old school way. You still had to go back in and do the vocals later,
sure.
you know, because they weren't set up to do it that way.
Right.
But we still kept it very old school.
That's very cool. And we got just another second here. But Taylor, since Hino just brought up the recording, let's talk tone, because if you're playing a Cash song, your guitar just sounds just like Luther, and when you're doing a Merle song, that Tele sound is spot on. So how long did it take? And I mean, is it gear, and how much experimentation goes into finding those perfect tones?
I tell you this, y'all are lucky to have Jimmy Capps
here. Yeah,
he is a hero of mine, and
he just got inducted into the
And I played Tele for years, and I've never used pedals or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about buying a Gretsch guitar, and I called Jimmy Capps, and I talked to him about it. He said, "You'll never regret it if you buy one." And I started playing Gretsch, and that guitar is the most versatile guitar I've ever had. And I don't have to use any pedals, and I just play through an old Fender Deluxe.
Really?
Tube amp. And people say, "Well, how are you getting that tone that people used to get?" I'm like, "Because I'm not using any of this new stuff. Okay. You know, I just use all old stuff.
A guitar and an amp.
That's
it.
I don't need anything in between it.
Wow.
Just do it the way they did it."
Wow.
Sweet.
This segment's brought to you by pedals. No, I'm kidding. No, it isn't.
Well, listen, we're here with the Malpas Brothers. We do need to take a quick break, but we're going to be back in just a few minutes on the Music Row Show.
Someone to wish day in and night, to always be here by my side.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show.
Love my heart.
That's the Malpas Brothers. That's a tune of theirs called I Found Someone to Love, and that's off their latest project, I believe.
Yes, sir.
Yes, it is. Called the Malpas Brothers, which you can find. You can pre-order at iTunes right now, and you can, of course, find it on your website pretty soon as well as iTunes.
Comes out May 26th. Very exciting.
I would pre-order that if I were you, because it's good.
Thank you. We appreciate
if
it.
If I do say so myself.
Thank you.
That's actually one we did write to be a brother duet style. Speaking of writing a while ago, when you try to that one there, we did gear it towards the older way, because nobody writes brother duet songs now.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That one was kind of written towards that time frame. So that's kind of cool that you played that. I forgot about that. That's good we talked about.
Well, you guys are going to do a Leuven Brothers song. And when you recorded your latest CD with Doyle Lawson, and you have Charlie Leuven's guitar.
Yes, sir.
And if I read it correctly, Ira or Doyle brought one of Ira's mandolins.
Yes, sir, he did.
And you guys recorded with both of their instruments.
We did. We did Satan and the Saint and we used ours.
I found some one of
that
too.
Yeah, and on that song as well. And Taylor played Ira's mandolin, Charlie's guitar. So it was kind of a neat thing to get those instruments together. You know, being as they influenced us both, and that they've been apart. It was cool to do that. So
that's very cool.
I'd be terrified to leave the house with that, honestly.
Well, you know, the worst thing could happen to it. It go under a bed or in a closet and not get played.
And not get played. You
know? Sure, that's
so
true.
So I just take the chance.
Okay.
That's great. Well, play us a song. And Taylor, before you do, knock that mic down a little bit.
There you go.
That works.
Yeah.
We're going to do one.
You can point it down, too.
This is a Leuven Brothers song that this is Taylor's favorite song. We hadn't done it in a long time, but we got more guts than we do talent. So.
All right.
this is one, the first one to love you, the last to forget. All right.
I'm just a name from out of your past. I was your first love. I won't be the last for loving too much. I'm paying my debt. The first one to love you, the last to forget.
I should have known that you'd be untrue and throw away the love that I gave to you. I loved you then, and I love you yet. The first one to love you, the last to forget.
that you'd be untrue and throw away the love that I gave to you. I loved you then, and I love you yet. The first one to love you, the last to forget.
Thank you. Very beautiful.
We appreciate that.
Let's take one more break.
Let's do it.
We'll be back with more of the Malpass Brothers. You, what's your website, by the way?
It's the MalpassBrothers.com.
MalpassBrothers.com. M-A-L-P-A-S-S. Check it out. We'll be right back here on the Music Row Show.
On September 12th, God must have felt June Carter needed company in her mansion in the sky. So he sent angels to Johnny, saying, "Well done, fine Christian. You've been mighty faithful and walked the gospel line." Now Johnny, he was tough.
Yeah, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's the man in black wearing white. I like that.
Thank you.
That's a tune by the Malpass Brothers, and that's actually off your first recording, isn't it?
Yes, sir. On Hag Records, yes, sir.
Yeah. And where can people find that if they'd like to?
You can get that from our website as well. Go to MalpassBrothers.com, and it's on there as well.
Perfect.
Well, let's talk about the new project and the new CD, available May 26th. How did you guys hook up with Doyle Lawson? How did the whole project come together for y'all?
Well, we were playing at Mr. Ralph Stanley's Bluegrass Festival, and mm-hmm. Doyle was on the show. And when he came off, I just kind of went over to introduce myself. And he knew who we were and knew all about us, and I was blown away because I didn't think, you know, Mr. Doyle would know who we were. And so we became friends, and he said, "There's a record label I'm with I'd really love to introduce you guys to." Mm-hmm. And so we talked a couple times by phone, and then next thing I knew, he said, "I've set up an interview. They really want to talk to you." So we went up first time and met with them, and we loved the guys right to start with. And then we went back the second time and went ahead and signed with them. We knew quick that they were the right team. You just know sometimes. And yeah. Plus, having Doyle say so means a lot, too.
Right.
Doyle's one of the most honest people in the business.
Right.
So, and that's rare these days.
Yeah, it is.
That is, yeah.
What, how, with Organic Records, what made them such a great fit for you and as far as your goals at the time?
Well, they, it was a smaller, it wasn't such a money hungry label, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And also, the key thing that they said was, when we walked in, they said, "We want you just like you are. We want you to, your look. Yeah. We want you to do write your, the songs you want to write. We don't want you to change the style. You've got complete reins in the studio." And that right there was the, because nobody has that anymore.
No. They'd find somebody like you and go, "We love you guys, but we need you to cut your
y'all
hair.
Are perfect. We need you to shave your head, right. Yeah. Muscles, and sing about cars in high school.
And why doesn't your wallet have a chain on it?"
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, that was what sold us on the guys.
Okay, right, great. Well, good. Well, you mentioned you do all the Facebook stuff.
We do, yes, sir.
So how do you use social media to reach out to your fans? What kind of stuff are you doing? Is that old school as well? Or?
Well, we keep them posted on where we're going to be. We even sometimes take requests, you know, if what songs do you like to hear? What would you like to see?
For an upcoming show, that
kind
of thing?
Yes, sir. We try to, we have people all the time send a request. "I'd love to hear another Marty Robbins song," or "I'd love to hear Memory That Bad," or whatever. And we take that into consideration, because it's all about pleasing the fans.
Sure.
Right.
So that's, we use that. We really do listen to what our fans and friends say. So it's very important.
You guys are on the road an awful lot. What would surprise people about the glamorous world of being a touring musician?
Boy, that's a good question. Boy, I could tell you. probably the thing that would surprise them is there's hardly any glamour. If you can ever get to the stage, it's great. But it's everything that goes before you get to the stage that's a pain in the butt.
And in between, yeah.
I mean, it's
stop making country sausage.
Yeah. It's good when it's done.
But
you,
it, but when it's done, it's good.
You don't want to see it being made.
You don't want to see it. I mean, it's just tough life. I mean, you miss out on a lot at home. You got to have a supportive family. There's a lot for every uplift, there's a letdown around the corner. And that's always going to happen, even when you get to just a big status. You
sure,
know?
Yeah.
So you just got to – Charlie Lewin said in an interview, if you can't take the lows, you'll never see another high.
Right.
Ooh,
and that's
good
very
one.
True.
Good one. Well, how much, since you are on the road so much, how much of the writing that you do for an album happens naturally along the way, or how much of it is, oh, crap, we've got 2 weeks to write 10 songs?
Well, sometimes it's easier to write on demand in some cases, but when you're traveling, I find it easiest to write when we're traveling.
Really?
Because you've got that time.
And you got nothing else to do.
And you got nothing else to do, and you're singing in your head, so that's great. But like when you're home, you're trying to catch up on everything around there, it's hard to do. But when I'm out on the road playing, that's the best time for me to write. And Taylor would agree, I'm sure. In fact, we were actually working on one about there while I got it, we're writing. So,
let's hear it. No, I'm kidding. Okay,
I was wondering if you guys wrote much together.
We do, yeah. Taylor kind of helps with the medley and also to sometimes he'll go, well, that word stinks. I could have wrote it better, and then that make me change.
My life doesn't go as smooth as Chris's, so I give him good song. With
exactly.
There you go. Okay. You're the inspiration.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if only we had another hour, we could really delve into that.
Yeah, we do.
Tell us more, Tim.
Yeah, we've got a couch we can bring out here, and that'd be great. So we've talked to several other people on the show who have family bands or travel with family. And some of them it goes great. Some of them say, don't ever do that, you know, that kind of thing. How do you guys manage to work together and keep everything harmonious, especially out on the road?
We get to do pretty good.
Yeah, me and Chris don't have any cousins.
Shut up, Taylor. Just shut up.
No, I'm talking. This is my time. We don't have any cousins, and we've always done everything together.
Yeah, so we're very close.
Yeah.
So
Or
you have your moments, I mean, but as family, there's that bond, and especially brothers.
And
so.
The good thing about it is a lot of time on stage, you know, we say we don't have a list, but a lot of time I'll be thinking, I'll say, well, I bet he's going to do this song next, and then he'll do it. You know, it's like
and then tell him what I do when you ask for songs.
Yeah, and then sometimes I'll say, Chris, will you do so-and-so? And he'll go, no.
Now that's a brother right there.
Talk about the booking process as a independent type of act. I mean, I know you have a label, but how involved are you guys in that side of the business?
Well, we've just recently went with Class Act, and they're a great agency to work with. But we always, you know, I always tell Mike, you know, I'd like to work here, I'd love to work there. And always, I'm very involved because I always call Mike and I say, what did they say? Were they happy? Was there any negative comments? Because that stuff's important. You know, a lot of people don't want to hear the negative comments, but I do because that's what improves. But luckily, there really aren't a lot, you know, really anything bad. So that's great, you know. But I do want to know what people like and what they don't like because that's important.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very involved with that.
Yeah.
That's actually very interesting because I've actually not heard...
I've never heard anybody
say that before because
it's like it would be like planting a field of crops and never going out to check them again. You know,
you're supposed to do that?
Yeah.
What?
Doggone it.
That explains my lack of
all the
garden.
Dead corn you've got in your garden.
Yeah. Wow.
That would explain it. So what you guys got coming up next here? Where can people see you? Are you going out on tour?
We've got a private party here tomorrow in town, and we wish we could be in Nashville more. We love it. But then next Friday, we're going to be at Mr. B's Bluegrass Festival in Virginia. And the name...
What town in Virginia?
What was it?
Dinwiddie, Virginia.
Okay.
It's not on the map. But it's
Ralph Stanley's festival's coming up.
Yeah, we're gonna be at Ralph's, and we're gonna have an album release party at a place called the Isis in Asheville, North Carolina, May the 22nd, and we invite anybody out that can come out to that.
I think all bands should have their mom in the room with them to
I do
help
too, because
that's to help tell them the dates.
Oh, man.
And
you're not kidding,
because he's been, for those who can't see us, which you can't, he keeps looking over at his mom and she's kind of mouthing the words. Because
I'm thinking, yeah.
Asheville,
because I'm bad with dates. I really am. But they're also all on our website too, and they can follow us on there as well.
How often do you visit your own website just to see where the heck you're going to be next?
I check it a lot because I can't keep up.
Twice a day.
Twice a day. Where am I again? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dinwiddie.
Right, yeah. Nashville. Oh, we're here.
Here we are. Here we are. Well, you guys, thank you so much. And again, the new album, Malpas Brothers, available on May 26th.
That is true.
And you
pre-order
can
pre-order on iTunes.
On iTunes now. And you should.
All right. So just one last question. What's the best part of y'all's jobs? What part of the whole glamorous affair do you like the best?
When the crowd's into it. Oh, and we're up there and they're loving what you do.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. That few moments is like a drug.
It is.
And what's your favorite part? Playing with me, probably?
Yeah, it would have to be. No, it's always one song in the show that always has that feeling that you're in another time.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah.
And last night I had that feeling. We did all the old Letty Frizzell song, If You Got the Money, Honey.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Love that song.
I had that feeling. It was like, oh, man, it's 1956 again.
Wow.
Then I woke up and it's
20. And you woke up.
And there
up.
You are.
Speaking of 50, you guys got the outfits down. I mean, is there a special place you go to get that stuff, or do you have to get it made? Or
this was Merle's jacket. One
get
Merle's
out.
Jackets, it sure was. Yes,
wow.
And
Scully. I'm gonna go to
Katie K's.
Katie K's, which is leaving us.
Oh
no.
Yeah.
Oh,
hey, we're out of time, y'all. Thank you guys for coming. Go to the MalpasBrothers.com. Go to the MusicRowShow.com. Corey Frizzell's going to be coming in here next week, too, speaking
Sweet.
Of Frizzell.
All right. So we'll see you next week on the Music Row Show.